Welcome to the final week of our One World series about finding connection in a disconnected world. As we learned in the first week of the series, none of us is truly alone. We are all connected by our shared humanity and as sons and daughters of God. And while it may be tempting to stay isolated, moving outside of our inner circle of close friends and family members and finding more of the right people in our lives is so important. That's what we talked about in the second week of the series. We need to find our people. In the third week, we talked about our spiritual diet, what we're taking in, and how we have to feed our own faith, but also take the time to feed others who need spiritual food. 2 weeks ago, we said that, you know, instead of walking around this world feeling unsafe, vulnerable, or threatened, we could come together, do what we can to protect one another, guard each other's hearts, keep us strong in adversity and faithful in times of fear and worry. And then last week was about doing something new for God, using your gifts to help Him create a new and more perfect order. All of these are ways of finding connection in our world and also transforming our divided world little by little into one world. And today I want to talk with you about make a deposit. When I was 13 years old, my father wanted to teach me the value of saving money. He took me down to a local bank, and I opened my first savings account. Now, I know none of you were alive back then, but back then, banks used to give you something called a savings passbook. It looks like this. It was a book with paper in it, and you know, there was no internet, no online banking, no way to check your balance, make deposits, or take withdrawals electronically. If you wanted to add money to the account or take some cash out, you had to go down to the bank, hand the passbook to the teller who would record the transaction in your passbook, and then hand it back to you. It was kind of like the Stone Age. Anyway, I still remember my first large withdrawal. It was for $325. I wanted to buy a camera and learn photography, and I remember my hand literally shaking when I handed the passbook to the teller because it just seemed like so much money. And then I ran down to the camera store at the other end of the mall, so fearful that I was going to lose the money. My older brother was there, and he reassured me, everything is going to be okay. It's a good investment. It's okay. Thanks, my brother, for that. But you know, in the same way, you can make deposits and take withdrawals when it comes to your faith. The church offers a very big bank account just for this purpose. It's called a spiritual treasury. And every day there are people who are adding to this account by the good things that they do. When you pray, help others, give to those in need, it's like you're making a deposit into the account. You're building up the balance for others. And that's a good thing, because sometimes people need to take a withdrawal. When they're running low on spiritual funds, going through a hard time, a difficult time, they need an extra dose of God's grace or a greater measure of His mercy and forgiveness. Like a bank account with money in it, they can draw down on the reserves of this spiritual treasury. The church calls this kind of withdrawal an indulgence. The word indulgence literally means favor, God's favor. And when you've fallen and failed, you're down and out, you've made some mistakes, you've mishandled a serious situation, God is always ready to forgive you when you turn back to Him because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But when you ask for an indulgence, when you receive an indulgence from the church, that's when God's grace is supercharged. He goes to work for you. He goes the extra mile, not only forgiving you, but also giving you the strength to start over again, opening up the windows of heaven and entrusting you with His favor. He will pour out His favor on your life like never before and get you started again. And it will do one other very important thing. The indulgence will wipe away part or all of this kind of a stain that's left behind on our souls from sin. He's helping us get ready to meet Him in heaven one day face to face. And all these benefits come through this spiritual treasury of the church. Jesus once said to his disciples, "Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." He was saying that the church, as a group of disciples, has authority to operate this big bank account to help people all over the world who need God's grace. In the first reading today, we heard about a difficult situation, a big dispute that was going on in the very early years of Christianity. It had to do with how someone could become a member of the church. Some people thought that they should have to jump through a lot of hoops, you know, prove themselves worthy, follow certain protocols. They wanted to introduce all this spiritual red tape. But others said it shouldn't be that hard. So the apostles and leaders of the church got together, prayed about it, talked about it, asked the Holy Spirit, and decided that it should be easy to join. It should be easy to join. And then they communicated that decision. God gave the church authority to make that decision. In the same way, God gave the church authority to issue indulgences, to operate this spiritual bank account, and to issue indulgences. In fact, Pope Francis, before he went to be with the Lord, declared something called a jubilee year for every part of the world, for the church all over the world. A jubilee comes around every 25 years, and it's a special time in the church for spiritual renewal through God's mercy and forgiveness. And as part of that jubilee year, there are all kinds of indulgences, these withdrawals we can take, that are available to us. But did you know that there's also this thing called a manual of indulgences? This may sound crazy to you. Somebody actually gave this to me as an ordination gift when I graduated from the seminary. It's this big book called the Manual of Indulgences. And it lists all the things we can do, the prayers we can say, the good works we can do to receive this withdrawal from the spiritual treasury and receive God's grace in our lives. It's a wonderful thing, and all we have to do is take advantage of it. Now, you can't earn these indulgences. You can't buy them. You can't deserve them on your own. But when you need an additional helping of God's grace and favor, well, that's when the spiritual treasury and this big bank account is available to you. When you need it, you can take out this withdrawal. But you can also make a deposit into the account. The biggest contributor ever to this spiritual bank account was, of course, Jesus Christ. He gave everything for us, died on the cross for us. He was like the Warren Buffett of this spiritual treasury. His deposit was enormous, priceless, too big even to count. But also Mary and all the saints throughout the 2,000 years history of the church have also made significant contributions. They are the ones the second reading today says are blessed because they have washed their robes through virtuous living and are now in the kingdom of heaven, living in the eternal city of God. But even though they lived a long time ago and are in heaven now, their merits, the good things they did in their lives, are available to help us even today through this spiritual treasury. In the gospel, in the Last Supper, the night before Jesus died on the cross, he gathered his disciples to say goodbye. His parting words took up about three chapters in the Gospel of John, and today we heard the final installment, the last piece of this farewell speech. And after offering some advice to the apostles, after comforting them and consoling them and reassuring he would come back to them, and after promising to send the Holy Spirit, Jesus then turned his eyes to heaven and prayed. He prayed for unity among his disciples. He prayed that everyone in the world one day would come to believe that he had been sent by God, that everyone would live together in perfect harmony, that one day our divided world would be transformed into one world through his love. And in his prayer, he said to God, he said, "I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one, as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may be brought to perfection as one. Jesus knew that even though he was the one and only Savior, we are all on this road to holiness, righteousness, and goodness together. We can't do it alone. We need each other. That's why St. Augustine, one of the greatest saints in the church, said that we are saved. We are either saved altogether or not at all. What if today you could start making some big deposits into God's bank account? You know, forgive people who have done you wrong, overlook faults, be a little more patient and understanding even when it's hard, give your time to help people who really need it, pray for the lost, broken, struggling, and hurting in our world. As living saints and as future saints, you can add something to this account. You can make a valuable deposit and contribution every single day. A friend of mine, Father Vito Perrone, he's a holy man and a very good priest. He started a monastery, a religious order here in San Francisco a long time ago. And for a while, and for many years, he has been the official leader of the Archdiocese's Ministry on Healing and Deliverance. And back in my old parish, I used to, every Sunday afternoon, drive down to see him and learn for about 4 or 5 hours every time about this ministry of healing and deliverance. I was interested in it. And often I would pick him up and we'd drive together from his monastery in South San Francisco down to East Palo Alto where the ministry was taking place. And when it was all over, about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, I would usually swing by the drive-thru of the local In-N-Out. This was back when I was eating meat. And I would order 2 double-doubles with cheese, fries, and a chocolate shake. Boy, I miss that. I know I'm making you hungry, but it was so good. What was funny is that every time we stopped there, I would ask Father Vito if he wanted something, even offer to pay for it. But every time he turned me down. I'd keep trying and trying. I'd tempt him with the delicious smell. I'd literally wave the cheeseburger in front of him. He's sitting in the passenger seat. I'm going to say, come on, Father Vito. I'd take a bite out of it just to make him jealous. But he never took the bait. One day I asked him why he would never take me up on the offer. And I knew he was hungry. He hadn't eaten all day. He was like fasting all day. And late at night, he still didn't take me up on the offer. He said that he had given up meat for a friend who was struggling with a serious addiction to alcohol. It was his way of praying for his friend, asking God to heal him from that awful disease and make him whole and healthy again. He was telling God that his friend was worthy of healing, so worthy that Father Vito was willing to give up something so delicious time after time again, something so great day after day, as a sacrifice to help his friend. Little did I know that every time he turned me down, said no to that In-N-Out burger, he was making a small deposit into the bank account of heaven, so that his friend, who was hurting, lonely, broken, and in bondage, could draw down from that spiritual treasury and become free and redeemed and healed and victorious. Every day, you can make that same kind of deposit. It doesn't have to be a big thing. You don't have to give up meat. Every kind act counts. Every work of mercy, every good deed. When you go out of your way to help someone else, take food to a sick person, pray for a troubled friend, mentor a young child, talk to a lonely neighbor, join a ministry at church, or help out in your local community, you are adding something to that account. Some days it just may be a few cents, but other times it could be thousands of dollars or more. Whatever it is, you are building up the balance in that account. You are storing up treasure in heaven for yourself and for others. Every occasion of doing good, every choice to make a sacrifice for others, every decision to bless other people, every time you offer praise and prayer to God, you are making it possible for someone else to more easily draw down on God's grace and favor from that spiritual treasury. God is literally stamping your passbook with a debit that others can use when they are down and out. And he is crediting you with righteousness because you are bringing peace, hope, joy, victory, abundance into people's lives by the good that you are doing. This is why Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing and will do even greater things." You can do these greater things for the Lord. You can contribute to the great spiritual treasury of the church. We are all living together in this one world, borrowing spiritually from one another sometimes in times of need. So that as Jesus prayed in the gospel today, one day, little by little, we will be brought to perfection as one.